job after all the cross-examination, Mr. Wren.
Got a lot of facts.
Yeah, you really have. Two of the concerns I have, Mr. Chairman, we'd like to move this along, but I do believe it requires a great deal more detail if you're going to have a good bill, okay? There's some detail there, at least some things I pointed out to you. The department has just started to review the proposal and just had copies of it this afternoon. I think the material that you use to develop this, your field testing would be extremely helpful, I think, for support of this legislation. And Mr. Chairman, I appreciate it. So they can make an analysis of that.
I can make that available to the department tomorrow.
One other thing that I think I have concern with, so you'd know.
Appreciate that.
In Ways and Means, they're looking at curtailment, further curtailment, particularly at budget reductions because of a certain loss of federal funds. This department has enough trouble getting the remaining acknowledgments passed. And I particularly want a review by the department and the fiscal staff to determine the implications of just what this is going to require. And I think that's important that we know. And because if they take $800,000 from their budget, I can guarantee you there is no way that they're going to get their acknowledgments done, let alone any other task we wish to assign them. I understand there's quite a bit of little difficulty down there right now. The bird tells me that, I hope you all bear that in mind. I'm willing to go for it and try to get it done, but understand that if we add this additional assignment, and I think they're more than willing to shoulder the burden, we have some obligation to go down there and support the fact that they at least keep the current staff they have dead in the water. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the time that you took, Dick. Todd, I know it's been hard to even get this out.
Okay. Thanks, Dick.
You got to schedule this for a work session.
Well, we're going to, depends on how soon the department can get their analysis done.
I talked to them a little bit this afternoon, and they have two days of commission meetings, Mr. Chairman, today and tomorrow. And it may not be until Monday or Tuesday, but I'd rather spend that deliberation and give us a good bill. I just tell you that's the information I have.
Yeah, we'll be talking to them, obviously. All we're right. Hoping for Friday. If not, we'll do it Monday.
Okay.
Thank you. We've got the draft now on the 405, and I'll have Todd pass that out so you can look at that. And maybe we can do that on Friday instead of... It's your homework for Friday, right?
Does everyone have copies of this?
Marginal lands are recycling.
Yes, we get enough.
It's heavier.
And wood stoves.
Yeah, a bill for it.
Stoves on Friday.
That's consistent. Are you going to make this available to a lot of people?
Yeah,
yes.
I have it in the office.
All right.
It's got to be available in room 331 for anyone who wants a copy of it.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll close the informational hearing at 237 and go to 2295. Before we do, I want...
Can we have a five-minute break?
Yeah, we'll do that. We'll stay in a recess till 5:15.
John, I have a couple of bills down on the judiciary.
Come back to order. We've got one more item this evening, a proposed amendment to House Bill 2295. And it's first KD. Thank you.
Give
him. Let's see if it is. I don't know who you want to bring people up in whatever order you're in, or you can bring them up together. You got three people? That might be easiest.
Four. One person, one, then one.
Okay, that's fine.
For your record, my name is Swami Krishnadeva. I'm the mayor of the city of Rajneeshpuram. To my left is Ma Prem Sangeet, who's the city attorney of Antelope and Rajneeshpuram. And to my right is Alan Johnson, who is a land use attorney representing the commune, which is the community that lives on and in the city of Rajneeshpuram. Mr. Chairman, what we're here to talk about today is a situation that's been created because of a unique difference in interpretation about the Oregon land use laws. Specifically, we are wondering, did the 1981 legislators apply the land use goals to new cities and the incorporation of new cities or not? Only two cities have been incorporated since the time that the amendments took place 2 years ago. Those cities are Kaiser, which you're very familiar with, here in Marion County, and the city of Rajneeshpuram in Central Oregon. Of the two, Rajneeshpuram stands out in more ways than one. One, because we've been singled out for litigation on the application of these land use questions. Kaiser is now a city, no strings attached, even though it began its incorporation process after we did, and presumably under the same ground rules. For the record, we want to say that we believe that the incorporation of new cities should be subject to the land use goals and guidelines, with clear standards that the people who incorporate can follow and know what to do with. We support such an amendment to the existing law to clearly require such compliance in the future. I guess you could call this a shotgun wedding between 1,000 friends and us. It's one of the few topics we think we can come to agreement on with them. But really, what do we do about the only municipal victim, an innocent victim, I might add, of an innocent oversight or a disagreement about the interpretation of the law in the land use reform legislation of 2 years ago? We come to you today, Mr. Chairman and committee members, with a question. If the committee agrees with the bill before it, House Bill 2295, that the oversight of the last session should be corrected, might it logically follow then that the committee will also want to end the costly litigation caused by that oversight, thereby ending the problems and uncertainties for the people who are living in that area and are affected by this oversight? All the legal technicalities aside, what's really at stake here is the lives of people. What the committee does or doesn't do today, and in this instance, will have a great impact on hundreds of people. People who aren't responsible for this situation, yet find their futures being held in suspended animation while lawyers squabble on and on and on, straining to swat legal gnats. Given this highly charged controversy surrounding our presence in Oregon, it's sometimes very easy to lose sight of the human factor, the effect that legislation has on the day-to-day lives of the citizens of Oregon. Some have asked, is it appropriate for the legislature to get itself involved in a situation currently under litigation, when the result might be to end that litigation? But we feel it's more appropriate for the legislature, and ask if it's more appropriate for the legislature, to write the land use law and establish its intent. Or is it appropriate for the courts to write the law based on one special interest group's selective interpretation of that land use law? We state and submit to you today that we feel it's the legislature's place to create those laws, to make the laws, not the courts. In fact, this bill that you have before you, 2295, already seeks and attempts to rectify the oversight of the 1981 legislation, just as many other bills before you that are passed by the House, by the Senate, clear up loopholes that are open and now need to be closed, that are housekeeping kinds of bills. And more to the point of this instance, would it not also be appropriate for the legislature, when it discovers that only one victim exists as a result of a correctable oversight, when it finds that this is happening, to act to remove the burden placed on that one victim. We look to you, Mr. Chairman, and to the members of the committee for answers to these kinds of questions. In closing, I'd like to emphasize again, we've done in the past, talked about this, that we have no quarrel with the statewide goals, with applying them, or with the LCDC. We've developed our ranch and our community with scrupulous attention to all these goals and guidelines. At the beginning, when we tried to apply the goals, and in fact did at the time of incorporation, we went to the best people we could find to help us and apply them. No one knew what they meant or how to apply them at that point, and that's still the case. It's still confused. The legislation before you seeks to help clarify that so that people will know how to do it. We take enormous pride in the fact that we're the best planned small community in Oregon. Tomorrow our plan's heard at the LCDC. The staff has suggested to the LCDC Commission that we be acknowledged on 13 of the 14 goals, first time through. We don't follow just the letter of the law. We also follow the spirit of the environmental enlightenment that the law proclaims. Our concern is for living in harmony with nature. That's an important part of our daily life. And we aren't facing a water depletion crisis. In fact, we're raising the water table. We're not threatened with loss of farmland to urban growth or sprawl because we've reclaimed thousands of acres of farmland as a result of being there that were raped and left vacant before that. What we're asking for today is what I think every Oregonian deserves and has a right to, which is if they're in a process, that the ground rules and goalposts of that process shouldn't change while we're in the midst of that process. What we're asking for is that people should not be penalized. Once entering a process, they shouldn't be penalized by the goalposts and rules changing underneath them as they're in that process. We're asking for a law with equity and a law with fairness. And with that, I ask you if you have any questions of me, and then Sungeep,
Mr. Chairman,
Mr. Johnson.
Sir Dave?
I just have to comment a little bit here. First of all, since I'm the only surviving member of the Energy Environment Committee 2 years ago, I just want to assure you that it's no oversight. The law is the way it is. And I've communicated that to you more than once. You know that. The issue is our new city is going to be created. Comparing Kaiser and Rajneesh or whatever it is a, like apples and oranges, because you had approved, acknowledged, comprehensive plan in Marion County when Kaiser was formed. You did not. Where you were located, this was indeed a new city in an area with no land use plan. I think the legislation that was passed is not ambiguous at all. I think what we're being asked here to do is to change the law while litigation is underway. Absolutely. And so I don't want it to be colored under any other color. We want to, basically, the request here, in my opinion, is a change of what we have appropriately decided that before you create a new city, there would be a good reason for it, a good reason for it, and particularly in an area outside their government. That's what we're faced with here, and so I don't buy the argument that this is something that's ambiguous. It's quite clear, in my opinion, that we intended that when a city was incorporated, that you had to meet certain tests. That's what this litigation is all about. I can't for the life of me understand why we would ever want to change it. So that's where I is right now, so you know.
Senator Kitzhaber, Senator Day, if I could just make one comment. If that is the case in actuality, if the law was clearly stated in 1981, I might ask the committee why in 1983 the law is being restated to clarify.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is I would answer you really directly. I don't recall you see me charging down trying to restate it. I think it's clear already, number one. Number two, 2295 is addressing a number of questions that were not addressed 2 years ago. We dealt with post-acknowledgement. We dealt with a number of issues on what was going to occur once plans were approved. What we're dealing with this time is a complaint, major complaints of the fact that the some people feel that we need to open that process some degree, particularly in areas surrounding urban areas, that we should look at how we apply those goals in some general way. But we to suggest that, that this particular question is open to change. I've got to tell you, I think it's clear cut, and I think the courts are going to rule accordingly. I think the legislature intended just exactly what was intended, and to change at this point, you're asking for a change in the rules while we're in litigation, and I got to tell you, I think it's sheer nonsense. Don't send and support it either.
Okay, Katie, did you raise this issue on the House side?
This issue didn't come to us until exactly the time when it was just coming out of the House side. It came to the community as a result of the kinds of things that were happening in the Antelope, Rajneeshpuram area. So the answer is no, it wasn't raised on that side, not because of any lack of desire on our part, but because it hadn't occurred to us at that point.
The only thing I wanted to say is, having to do with the people of Antelope, some of the people of Antelope passed a petition in support of this amendment, and they asked
Excuse me, could you just state your name for the
I'm sorry, I'm Malcolm Sangeet, city attorney for the cities of Antelope and Rajneeshpuram. They asked me to bring that petition to you today, so I have provided it to you. Also, copies of the resolutions adopted by the Antelope City Council.
That's in your material, sir.
Some letters from members of the council, the mayor, and also from the Rajneesh Investment Corporation, the primary Rajneeshi landowner in Antelope, all indicating that they support this legislation and that they would be willing to withdraw from Antelope if the situation in Rajneeshpuram could be resolved.
Do you have anything to add?
I'm here almost a little bit surprised to be here. I just found out a little while ago.
Just state your name also.
My name is Alan Johnson. I represent the commune. And I understand my function is to answer questions at the time.
Are there additional questions at this time? Okay. Any additional questions? What do you anticipate happening if you lose the court case?
Well, first of all, we don't anticipate losing it.
Okay. Should you lose it, just hypothetically?
I guess when you get back to the final analysis of the whole thing, if the Supreme Court, which is right now considering review, and correct me if I'm wrong, I'm going on my layman's knowledge of what I think is going to happen. Then what would happen is it would go back to LUBA or LADRIP or whatever that entity is going to be called. That entity will then study the facts and findings made by the county court on the land use goals and guidelines. If it finds that those findings come up short, it's the option, and what I understand is the rule generally in this case, is it sends it back to the Wasco County Court. It says, guess what, guys, your findings weren't done right. Bolster them, make some new ones, send it back to us, and we'll dicker back and forth until they're right. That's my understanding of the process. Is that?
I guess that's basically the way, one way it could work out. There are a number of possibilities.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
I'd like to add another possibility. Another possibility is they may determine that a city is inappropriate in that area because of a number of reasons, and you may indeed not have a city. That could be one of the consequences of this, could it not? Yes or no?
That's a question which I guess, first of all, the courts are going to have to answer.
But that could be one of the possibilities.
It is conceivable. That could happen if the courts were to find that the goals in their current form clearly enough address just how you handle the incorporation of the city to be applied to this particular decision. One of the problems that we have, of course, is that the LCDC has never spoken on the issue of how goals apply to incorporation.
See, Mr. Chairman, just to look at the legislative history, one of the reasons for, there were two areas 2 years ago that were interested. Kaiser was one of them. One was in East Multnomah County, which I think are underway of trying to incorporate. One of the concerns of a lot of people when they relaxed the incorporation law was the fact that we had some control over incorporation, where someone just could put a pin in the map and go out and create a new city where services could be afforded. This particular area they're referring to was no accident. It was no mistake. It was intended, it was deliberate, and it was there for a purpose for public, and to suggest it was just something that was a major oversight. It's not so. It just simply is not so. There was a great deal of deliberation that went into that, and the reason it's there is for the very reason that we relaxed somewhat how a city could be incorporated. they still had to follow the land use laws. And that means everyone, no differential, everyone.
I just have one more question, and it's not directly on this, but it's been a lot of coverage on the Jefferson City or the Jefferson County business.
Okay.
And I guess what troubles me, and maybe you can explain it to me, if
they had to explain it to me, so I'll try and explain
it to you. Okay, good. Because I think we're talking about intent here and about the spirit of the land use planning process. If you have an area where you have 20 or so permits with mobile homes for farm laborers, which is, correct me if I'm wrong, and you decide you want to incorporate that, you got to bring 150 people in under Oregon law. It's pretty hard to pack 150 people into, you know, 20 mobile homes for farm laborers. And to me, it doesn't appear as though the intent is quite in the spirit of complying with land use planning laws. And I mean, I that's not directly related to this, but it certainly does cast some shadows on this whole issue.
Well, to explain that, I don't believe it does cast shadows. Let me explain the context of that decision the people made there. Those people have been dealing with a situation in Jefferson County where Jefferson County refuses categorically to enter into any agreement, a UGB agreement, so that the people that live adjacent, this is not anything other than a hole in a donut. The city of Rajneeshpuram is literally everywhere right there, and these people happen to geographically live over a political boundary line. They're unable to be protected by the police service. They're unable to get sewer water lines. They're unable to take advantage in any way of involving themselves in the political government that's right literally 100 yards away. Their desire to do that and their frustration in not having that cooperation led them to the point where they said, well, if we're going to be treated with this kind of approach, which to them appears to be a bigoted approach from the difficulties that are happening in that area, that's one of the main things that's come up, is that area geographically is very, very volatile. If they're going to have to deal with that, then to heck with it. Let's go with them and say we demand to have some kind of municipal services here. This is the only other way we know of available by law. We'll make the facts and findings, we'll comply with the goals, whatever we need to, but we feel it's justified for us to be a part of the city of Rajneeshpuram. That's what they really want to do. That's their real intent.
But the initial permits for the residences there were for a different purpose. They were for farm laborers. That is an EFU zone, is it not?
I don't think anybody in the history of any town would take out a permit to build a home for the purpose of forming a city. That could certainly never be characterized as a permit.
Well, where do you draw the line? Suppose you get some more permits for some more mobile home dwellings for farm laborers or whatever out in another area. Can't you make the same argument that they want to be incorporated?
I guess what's going to happen is that those people that choose to say we want to have a form of self-government, which is what they're really saying, forgetting about the land uses, because the goals should cover...
That's the whole issue here.
No, what I'm saying is the goals should cover that. The goals will not allow anyone in any area to do anything that's not in accordance with the spirit of those things that Oregon wants as a state. That's the job of the goals. If the goals are going to be applied to that city, it doesn't matter if they have a city government. The city government in and of itself provides something for the citizens there. What they do as far as land use is governed by the goals and guidelines. For instance, it's conceivable that the goals as they're applied to that area may make it continue its way as a resource land. Incorporated, but resource land. Incorporated, but people can have a government but still operate there in the way they need to. It so happens in this case, hypothetically we're talking something different, maybe other places. In this case, they're adjacent to a highly committed area, to an industrial area right in the city of Rajneeshpuram. That's the real issue in this particular case.
Let me ask you one more question and we can move on. How are you getting 150 people living in that area?
Well, that's simple. Families can live, the laws, the way they're stated in the Oregon, well, I guess it's in the Jefferson County book, is that you can have a family. That family could be 6-7 people plus 3 people plus a cleaner servant.
It's a lot of folks in a 20 mobile homes.
Well, that's simple. And our homes are very large, and we also have some travel trailers in the area. It's not just the 20 homes.
A letter from your city marshal reads, dated May 31st, I do hereby resign my post of city marshal contingent upon, among other things, passage of House Bill 2295 with the proposed amendment. Now, there are people who think that you are coming here trying simply, blatantly, to cut a deal. why should we not believe that when we get a letter saying, I'll resign, legislature, if you pass this bill? And why should we be put in that kind of position in considering the bill?
That, I don't think, it's understandable from his point of view. That's the only way that a person in his position can express something to make it clear that they mean business when they say that they are tired of living with tension, with threats of violence, with the kind of things that are happening. That's not the kind of thing that we can legislate. On the other hand, what other option does he have open to say, I really mean business, I really mean that it's enough for me now?
As City Marshal, I'm sorry, go ahead and finish.
Well, the other side of that coin is, without some kind of legal solution, whether it be 2, 3, 4, 5 years or today, to the problems of the city of Rajneeshpuram, Antelope will remain the alternative option to the needs of the city, to the needs of the residents in the area.
As City Marshal, what is he doing about the tensions and threats of violence in the city?
The position of Marshal in Antelope is mainly a debt collection position. It's not one that deals with, not a peacekeeping position. So he doesn't really deal with that. That's dealt with by the Moscow County Police primarily. I would say something too, and I don't believe that people in Antelope are threatening to do anything. They're merely willing to give up something if they can get their needs met somewhere else. And if they can't have their needs met, or as Senator Day said, there's the potential that the courts may say you don't have a city in Rajneeshpuram. In that case, they can't be guaranteed they're going to have their needs met.
And what would happen in that case? The question was asked earlier, and I wasn't quite clear with the answer. What would happen if you lose the court case?
Well, I think what the community has said all along, that if they could not settle in Rajneeshpuram, the nearest place they could settle would be Antelope, to still be near enough to the land to work it, and that would be the only feasible place to live.
I might add, Senator Sal Johnson, that I have been involved in litigation for the Land Use Board of Appeals and Court of Appeals. And the first place that I saw the suggestion that the Rajneeshis go to Antelope was in the 1,000 Friends of Oregon brief on their petition for review to the Land Use Board of Appeals, where they said that this is not an appropriate area out here in a rural area, that there are urban growth boundaries that are acknowledged nearby, including Madras and the city of Antelope. It was their advice, it was their position that the law says if you folks want to get together and want to be in an isolated area, the most isolated you're going to be, and the place you're going to have the least conflict is going to be in a small town, which unfortunately may be occupied by other people. And so the people of Rajneeshpuram, the Rajneeshis, they did two things. They said, no, we feel that it's appropriate to have our community out of way where we will not interfere with other people and they won't interfere with us. But they also said, we know this is a long and arduous process and we've got to cover that contingency. And so they followed that advice too. And they are stuck between a rock and a hard place. They are hung up. Being in two places at once is what happens to most people who get involved in this kind of litigation. And they simply cannot resolve that dilemma that they've been placed into, 5,000 Friends, until the litigation is resolved. And it can only be resolved quickly by the legislature. It can be resolved in 3 or 4 more years by the courts.
Senator Day.
Are you finished, sir?
Well, I guess that's an argument you can make. This legislature rarely interjects itself between litigants. Rarely. And indeed, someone could question whether the city was property there, period. That's the question, a land use question, whether it was properly there. Now, I don't want to get into this whole process, but as far as I'm concerned, the law was made quite clearly. We didn't necessarily want people going off half-cocked creating cities all over the universe. We didn't. We just didn't. And there were a number of reasons for that. And some of it had to do with services, sewage, water supply, schools, all sorts of things that we have to provide as a combination. But to ask us to intervene, and that's exactly what this amendment does, it would nullify litigation with the idea. And I guess Senator Starkovich has hit it upon it like there is some deal. Well, there's no deal. Follow the law. The law says you're wrong, you move. That's what it says. And I don't see any reason why we should change it. But the deal is probably bothers me more than anything, because You know, whether someone lives somewhere or they don't live, is not the business of this legislature. The business of this legislature is to determine what the law is and to see that it's fairly administered. And it sure shooting isn't our obligation to put ourselves in, interjected in litigation and decide the case here. I don't think so.
Well, Senator Day, if I may respond, I think we're getting maybe a little off the track when we look at the question of the statute, whether it says, you know, incorporation is a land use decision or not. Thousand Friends has taken the position for years before that that incorporation was a land use decision under the Peterson test because of its impact. Under that test and that kind of analysis, the cities of Westford, cities of Adair, I believe one other city in addition to Kaiser, have all gone through without anybody applying those or suggesting that they be applied, including the LCDC staff, that the goals be applied to them or coming up with a solution as to how they're going to apply. The lack of clarity is not just at the legislative level as to whether it's a land use decision. The lack of clarity is how in the heck do you apply the goals to the question of incorporation. And that is an issue which is totally unresolved. I have a little bag here right now. I didn't bring them on. I thought I might have a use for it. I'd like to show you something. This is a sweatshirt.